Presumption of Friendship, written by Devil in the Details, read by Raven. Summary. After Kelladry of Mindelin's probation is finished, John and Alana bury the hatchet. Presumption of Friendship. Alana didn't glance away from brushing Dark Moon to see who approached her from behind in the royal stables, but John knew that she would sense it was him. She had always had an uncanny, cat-like ability to identify him as he neared. He didn't understand what it was that gave him away. His footsteps or a special scent that perpetually clung only to him, even though he had asked her once. Moonbeams spinning silver into the flaming red sun of her hair when they were not merely friends, but lovers. How she always knew it was him who approached. "It's just you," she'd replied with a slight, secret smile that had answered nothing and everything as she, forever cold, had curled up to him for warmth.
"We've stable boys to do that, you know," John called out to her now as he reached the stall. There was no title, no formality in his teasing greeting. He was aware that there was a presumption of friendship in that, a presumption that she would forgive him without having to ask, as she always had once her temper had cooled, that she would speak to him, and that she would want to pick up the thread of their relationship where they had dropped it months ago when John had agreed to Lord Windolin's proposal of probation for Kelladry of Mindelin. "I know, but it's good for a woman of my advanced years to get some exercise to keep herself limber." Alana's amethyst eyes twinkled at him, and it was as if she had never stormed out of the meeting with him and Windolin, as if she had never, according to Gary, who had tried to entreat with her before she had swept out of chorus in a rage and returned with hands held up in a hopeless declaration that she had refused to be reasonable, believed that he had betrayed her and everything she had ever sought to achieve in her life. As if he hadn't been infuriated by her sense of betrayal, by her inability to glimpse the pattern of his strategy, the grand tapestry he was weaving with the different colored threads of lives, motivations, and ambitions. Hers, Windolin of Caval's, Kelladry of Mindelin's, and even his own. He had been angry as a wounded animal that she couldn't take a step back to see the larger art that he was creating as a king who could understand what drove people more deeply than they did themselves. He had known then that he would have to wait until both their tempers had cooled, because even passions as hot as his and Alana's eventually burned out, allowing new growth in their friendship just as plants eventually sprouted from the ashes of soil scorched by forest fire.
"Your advanced years," John stepped forward to stroke Dark Moon's black mane. Except for the darkness of his mane and tail, Dark Moon could have been mistaken for Moonlight, the proud mare who had been his grandam. The fact that Moonlight, whom he had paid for with a sapphire ring behind Alana's back when he had thought she was a boy, was dead and buried like a hatchet in the ground was an uncomfortable reminder of how much time had passed in his own life.
"You better not be calling yourself old, because that would make me..."
"Ancient and crumbling as the ruins of the old ones?" Alana chirped, watching Dark Moon nuzzle at John's pocket.
"I may be old, but I am not ancient and crumbling." John surrendered the apple hidden in his pocket to Dark Moon, who crunched at it contentedly.
"True," Alana gave a lopsided grin at the sight of him spoiling her horse. "I only see a dozen gray hairs on your head."
"I'll have you know there isn't a single gray hair on my head. I check in the mirror every morning."
John chuckled as Dark Moon nudged at his pocket in search of the sugar cubes he had concealed there. "Did you bring treats to charm me as you did my horse?" Alana arched an eyebrow.
"Now that you mention it..."
John dipped a languid hand into his pocket.
"I did bring sugar cubes to sweeten you."
"Give them to Dark Moon," Alana snorted, sounding rather like a horse herself. But her permission proved unnecessary, for Dark Moon's tickling tongue had already stretched out to lick the sugar cubes from John's extended palm. "Nothing could sweeten me." Silence settled between them, echoing in the stall as Dark Moon finished the treats John had slipped him.
At last, Alana spoke abruptly. Lord Windolin finally decided to do the honorable and fair thing, allowing Kelladry of Mindolin to continue to train as a page now that her probation is done.
He did.
John knew that it was the news of that passed along backcountry roads and whispered in remote inns that had brought Alana back to Corus. You must have known from the time you agreed to Kelladry of Mindolin's probation that this would happen. Alana's gaze fixed on his, and he saw no apology there. She would never apologize to him any more than he would to her, but he did detect the hint of forgiveness. That's why you agreed to her probation.
I didn't know.
John couldn't claim to know what he had only presumed about Lord Windolin's honor, about Kelladry of Mindolin's ability as a daughter of a diplomat reared in the Yamani Islands to keep calm in the face of Lord Windolin's hostility, and about Alana's willingness to forgive him.
I only guessed and hoped as I guessed and hoped that you would forgive me.
Very risky, Alana shook her head, relying on two people as stubborn as Lord Windolin and me to come around.
Not as risky as storming out on your king.
John's rebuttal came quick as ever to his lips, and he was pleased that they hadn't lost the rhythm of their retorts in their friendship despite their long separation.
Not my king, countered Alana in a softer tone that imparted affection to her next words.
My best friend. And since you are my best friend, I suppose I'll have to bury the hatchet instead of killing you with it. John felt his throat constrict at the idea that, despite all the strain his presumption had placed on their friendship, she still considered him her best friend, and cleared it.
Only you could say that to your best friend.
The end. Thank you for listening.